Second Peter chapter 1.
I want to read you several passages. And the message today is God's stars. God's stars. I was searching in Second Peter to see if anything could be found that would remind us of this Christmas season. And I'll start here and then read you other verses as well. Verse 16, chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there was born such a voice to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice we ourselves heard born out of heaven, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The day star arise in your hearts. Matthew 2. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him." Verse 7. Then Herod privily called in the wise men and learned of them exactly what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search out exactly concerning the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may also come and worship him." And they, having heard the king, went their way, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, Revelation 2. Verse 46. This is the church at Pergamum, and our Savior is talking, and he said, "And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter are broken to shivers. As I also received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star." In chapter 22, verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright, the morning star." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that you know the end from the beginning. We are thankful for the way that you began things. You began them with your Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that hath been made. And our Father, we have read that this Eternal One was made flesh and dwelt among us. We thank you, our God, that in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law. We are thankful for this thing that you have done, and we are glad that you've told us about it in the old and in the new, from beginning to end. We thank you for the way that you present your Son to us in every aspect of his character. We thank you for him as Creator, our God, and we thank you also for him as the bright and morning star. And so as we consider your stars today, we pray that our hearts shall be illumined, and that we indeed, as they, so shall we, see his star. Bless us to this end, we pray. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. A remarkable thing is this, that before God ever brought any stars into existence, it says in the book of Job, when Job is challenged, who had challenged God, now God challenges Job. He says to him, where were you when I brought this universe into existence? He said, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Please notice, before there were any physical stars in existence, there were angelic beings, and they are called the stars. When all the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. And in heaven, before sin entered into the world, there was one star that shined greater than any other, and his name was Lucifer. And his name means morning star. And so as a creature, Lucifer was the brightest star. But what is so sad is that again and again we find that Lucifer was cast out of heaven. In Isaiah, he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And God said, you shall be brought down to hell. And we find it in Isaiah, and then finally in Revelation chapter 12, we see that Satan is cast out of heaven, and then he knows his time is short. And so this is a remarkable thing, that when the Lord Jesus brought this universe into existence, and the scientists are looking at the earth and our star, because we have one star, and we have one moon, and in Genesis it tells us that God created the universe, and it said he made two lights, the greater light to rule by day, and the lesser light to rule by night. And then incidentally, the scientists are thrilled with the universe. Incidentally, God says, and I made the stars also. They are insignificant to him. But there was one star that is significant, and there was one planet that is significant, and that planet is Earth. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so in all God's universe, there is one planet that is important to God, and in the fullness of time, God sends forth his Son into this planet. And when he comes, we learn that there was a star that shined brighter in heaven than Lucifer
did.
And that is why his heart was filled with jealousy. And he wanted to exalt his throne above the stars of God. And God said, by no means, my son shall have the preeminence. And therefore, he was cast down. And ultimately, he shall be cast down lower and cast into the lake of fire. And so God tells us about his stars. And he tells us that these angels that are called stars, and remember, at times, he is speaking of angels, but he's not meaning an angel. He is speaking of stars, and he's not meaning stars because they are symbolical. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bright and morning star. And it says in Numbers, in this prophecy of Balaam, it said, a star shall rise out of Judah, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel. Think, a star or a scepter, they both mean the same thing. They are distinguished persons. They are authorities. And so God calls them stars, and he calls them scepters. And what happens is this, that before the Lord Jesus came upon the scene, Balaam says, a star shall come out of Jacob. And then it is narrowed down that this star is going to come out of David, the tribe of David. And finally, when the Lord Jesus comes into the world, he tells people, one of the greatest gifts that I'm going to give you, if you are obedient and do my will, is this. I will give you the morning star. And then in chapter 22, he tells us who that morning star was. He said, I am the bright and morning star. What more precious gift could Christ give than himself? And so he gives himself in different aspects. He says this, there is hidden manna. And he says, some people are going to eat of that hidden manna. Who do you think the manna is? You say, why, I know that manna is Christ. Yes. Who do you think that bright and morning star is? You say, why, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so some of us know so little about the Savior. All you know is what that thief on the cross knew. As best he was able, he turned to the Savior and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, the day shalt thou be with me in paradise. All he knew was that this man had done nothing amiss, and if I ask him, he will remember me when he comes into his kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, the day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so some know so little about the Savior. But what happens, and I told you this last week, Peter exhorts us, giving all diligence in your faith, supply virtue, and in your virtue, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. He is expecting Christians to grow, to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus says this, if you learn more about me, you will discover that that manna that God rained down from heaven, he said, that is a picture of me. And also, that bright and morning star that God talks about in the Old Testament, he said, that is a picture of me. And you will understand me as the manna. And you will understand me as the bright and morning star. You will understand these things. But some Christians never know any more about him than, I know this much, that Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Thank God for that. But this is what Peter is doing. He is exhorting you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he said, I want you to know about me as the manna. I want you to know about me as the bright and morning star. And what happens is this, that in his second epistle, he speaks about the Lord Jesus. He speaks about him in a twofold way. And he says this, we are to study the Word of God, we are to examine it until two things happen. Until the day dawn and the morning star arise in your heart. How could a star arise in your heart? What it means is this, the day dawn, that is the promise of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and the day star arise in your heart. This aspect of Christ as the bright and morning star and his coming again is the dawn upon the children of God. His return as that star is to become a reality to you. And yet some have never been impressed by the fact that the Lord Jesus said that he's coming again. And when he comes again, he is pictured as the dawn of the day. He's called the morning star. He is called the Son of Righteousness. And so here are God's created things. And he can point to them and say, this is to remind you of my Son. And this is to remind you of my Son. Who do you think the lily of the valley is? You say, why, that's the Lord Jesus. Who do you think the Lamb of God is? You say, that Lamb is the Lord Jesus. Who do you think all the great characters in the Bible remind us of? You say, a little bit of the Lord Jesus. And what the Savior is telling us here in 2 Peter is he wants something to dawn upon us. He wants the day star to arise in our heart until our hope is the hope of the Apostle Paul, until Timothy chapter 2 possesses us. This is what it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what happens when the promise, when the reality of the return of Christ dawns upon you, possesses you, makes you understand that that is your hope of the future, then the morning star has arisen in your heart. And some of you have no hope, no expectation about anything in the future. If the Lord Jesus were to come today, how would it catch you? Peter tells us about his return. Paul tells us about his return. John tells us about his return. This is what John says. He said, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If the Lord Jesus came today, would you be proud or would you be ashamed? I think of Peter. I think of Peter who boasted that he would die before he would deny the Lord. And he denied the Lord three times. And it said the Lord Jesus turned and looked at him. And when Peter saw that glance of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eyes penetrating the secrets of his soul, it said he went out and wept bitterly. Why? Because he was not prepared for the coming of the Lord. The Savior, in speaking a parable, spoke about the insistence of that widow woman that she be done justice of her adversary. And it said that the judge at first would not do anything for her, but afterward he said, I don't fear God, I have no regard of man, but because this woman is wearing me out, I'm going to do her justice. And the Lord Jesus said, and shall not God avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night, though he is long suffering over them? Yet, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And you've heard about the coming of the Lord. How much in reality do you expect him? You have no hope that he's going to come today. That's the saddest thing. That the Savior, he may come today. He may not come for 7 years. But the point is this, that when he comes, the Lord Jesus wants to know if there will be faith in your heart. Or if this will happen. If some of us, when he comes, will be taken by surprise and say, where did you come from? He's told us. He's made that promise. Years from the very first that he's coming again. And this is what God wants to happen. He wants the promise of the coming of Christ to be as the morning star, and it is to arise in your heart. Every morning, when it's cloudless, you can go out and you can see the morning star arise. You can grasp things in an intellectual way, but it hasn't possessed you. But what Peter wants is for the day star to arise in your heart, all of these prophetical scriptures to become realities to you within. You are to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, and you are to expect the coming of the Lord Jesus with all your heart. And what happens is this, that as in the first instance, when the Lord Jesus was made manifest to the world. Because who knew that in Job 38, when the morning stars were singing together and all the sons of God were shouting for joy, who knew that that was the Lord Jesus Christ who was creating the universe? But John tells us that. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. God tells us that. And when Christ brought the universe into existence, it said, all the sons of God, the morning stars, they sang together. There was celebration then. And I did not read you in Luke, that precious portion that tells us about angels also being present when there is another creation. The remarkable thing is when the Creator becomes a creation. The Lord Jesus as God is without beginning. But Jesus had a beginning. When Jesus was born, and it will tell you historically when it was, in the days of Herod the king. And people look at him and say, you're not yet 50 years old. The Bible tells us about Jesus when he was 12 years old. Tell me about the age of God from eternity. How old is God? You say, why, there's no calculation about God. He is eternal. Tell me about Jesus. You say, Jesus, the God-man, why, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. But what God would have us to know is this, that this eternal creator is going to become a creature. And just as when he first brought this universe into existence, there were angelic celebrations of that creation, so when the Lord Jesus is born in Bethlehem of Judea, again there is angelic celebration. One angel at first. There are shepherds in the field, and there is this angel that tells them what has happened. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's what they are told. And it says, suddenly with this angel, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it says, a multitude of angels. This is what you must understand. That when there was the first creation, it says that all the angels of God were singing. All the sons of God were singing for joy. It tells us those things. And it speaks of the multitude and what that number was when it says, a multitude as great as the stars of heaven, as great as the sands of the sea. And I have no doubt that as when the first creation took place, all the sons of God shouted for joy. This multitude of heavenly beings, these angelic beings, they were present again when the God-man was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And all of them joined in that song, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so we say, well, he was born in a manger. It's so obscure. Why, it's an unworthy thing for him to be born without recognition. Every angel in heaven recognized him, acknowledged that he was the Son of God before he was born. It is told what shall come forth when he is born. This is what Mary is told in the Gospel of Luke. It says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Wherefore also that holy thing which shall be begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so the angel knows what's going to happen. This man, Jesus, who has a beginning, is the eternal incarnate one, God manifest in the flesh. And God is determined that though man does not know it, only a few shepherds have it announced to them, that God sends all his angels from heaven to celebrate the birth of this man. And this should frighten you, that when the Lord Jesus, the man whom Israel did not know, John the Baptist said, there standeth one in the midst of you whom you know not. When we see him, there's no beauty in him that we should desire him. This was Christ among his brethren, according to the flesh. But what happened is that every angel that had been cast out of heaven, every unclean spirit, when they saw the Lord Jesus, they knew him. We said, you are the Holy One of God. You are the Son of God. They knew who he was. And yet men were unable to recognize him. But these angelic beings recognized him, even in their fallen condition. They knew why. Because they were with him when he brought the creation of the universe into existence. They were there. They knew him then. And even though he is manifest in the flesh, they look upon him and they know who he is. You are the Holy One of God. You are the Son of God. And so all the holy angels in heaven knew him, and they came down from heaven and celebrated his birth. But it was momentary, because as soon as they get through praising him, it says, they go back to heaven. And then the only thing that is known about the birth of the Savior and the angelic worship of him when he's born, a few insignificant shepherds go and find that what the angel tells them is true, and they tell people. And then, for 30 years, you hear no more about him. Nothing. He lives in obscurity in Nazareth as a carpenter, and that's all you hear. And so suddenly, when he is baptized, the heavens are rent asunder, and the Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so man says, he's not given due honor. Not given due honor, when every angel in heaven is acknowledging his birth. When the angels cast out of heaven are acknowledging him as the Holy One of God, the Son of God. You say he's not acknowledged? He is acknowledged by all those who care. And all of those who recognize him. But what happens concerning us is this. The day star has to rise in your heart, and has it risen in your heart? What does the coming of Christ mean to you? What reality does it have? It says this in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. For this cause the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And every man that hath this hope upon him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You see what has happened? Every man that has this hope upon him, the coming of Christ again, it has appeared in their heart. The day star has arisen in their heart, and the return of Christ is a reality, and it controls their lives, and they live for him every day, and they long for his coming every day. Like the Apostle Paul says, this is the end of his life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give to me in that day. And not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Do you love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you do not, that day star has not arisen in your heart. It's contained in the prophetical scripture. It is certain, and God tells you it's certain, but it hasn't risen in your heart. And so you go through the world in a carnal, unconcerned manner, and the Lord Jesus is going to catch you unawares, because he says, watch, for you know not the day or hour when the Son of Man cometh. This is what the Savior is warning us about. Now, concerning the return of the Savior, do you not realize that it's given to us in so many ways? I told you the way that Paul told you about it in Titus chapter 2, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Savior himself told you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What does that mean to you? Why? If you know that, if like Paul, if like John, if like Peter, if it is risen in your heart, then your life will be changed. Every man that hath this hope set on him, the hope of his coming again as the day star arising, if that hope is upon you, it says, you will purify yourself even as he is pure. This is what God wants you to understand. Now, please notice the things that God has prepared, because there are so many things, and the most important is the one that Christ has prepared. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. It is good to have a place prepared for you. When Christ was born, what place was prepared for him? You say there was no room for him in the inn. No place prepared for him. But he willingly accepted a manger as his bed. But concerning us, the Savior who died for us on earth prepared a place for us in heaven. And he said, I'm coming again, and I'm going to take you to that place that I prepared for you. And Paul is thrilled when he thinks about it. And Peter wants you to be thrilled when you think about it. And John wants you to be on guard when you think about it. He wants you to be ready. And the Lord Jesus thinks over all the things that he's done and the warnings he's given. And he says this, I've told you I'm coming again. I've told you and told you. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? One of the saddest and then the gladdest scenes in the Bible is Luke 24. Cleopas and his companion are on the way to Emmaus, and unknown to them, the Lord Jesus falls in step with them. And he says, "What are you talking about?" And they look at him and insultingly say, "Are you the only man in the world that doesn't know what has happened?" And they tell him about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And they say this, "And beside all this, this is the third day. And the women have told us that they saw and celebrate his resurrection, but we haven't seen him." And then the Lord Jesus said this, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Son of Man to have died and suffered and risen again?" And then for 7 miles he walks with them, opening the scriptures. And then it says this, when he breaks the bread, it says, their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And it says concerning the others, he opened their hearts, their minds, that they might understand the scriptures. And then their souls were thrilled. Now all that I've told you about this morning, it will mean nothing to you unless that day star has arisen in your heart. It will be something that a man told me at the Christmas season, but it means nothing. But once the coming of the return of Christ grips you, when it rises in your heart, then your life will be changed. Every man that hath this hope on him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And you'll understand that the Lord Jesus has done all things well. All that was necessary to save you from your sins has been done on the cross. And all that's necessary to make sure that you have a place in heaven has been done for you in heaven. And this is what Peter says in his first epistle. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. And this is what he's telling us about in the second epistle. He says, I want this coming of Christ again. Is taking you to that place reserved in heaven for you. I want it to possess you, to be a reality in your life, to purify you, to make you constantly alert that Jesus may come. And he says, it will never happen until the day star arrives in your heart. Now, he warned us last week, I told you about it. He says, there are some, and they are to make advances in their Christian life. He says, if they do, there will be an abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. He said, but if not, you'll be blind. You'll forget that your sins were forgiven. What assurance do you have if your sins have been forgiven? It says that if you do not pursue this, if your soul has not been possessed by the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll walk in your sin and you'll be like the dog that is returned to his vomit. This is the way he tells us. He explains that we must have that day star.